Blog Talk Radio.
A queen or understand.
Welcome to the Focus Show. This is me, Sean Daniels, coming at you here in Louisville, Kentucky. The music you just heard is from a brother that was connected with me about a year ago when I was doing the Focus Show. I can't even remember the brother's name, and maybe Leonard can help me because Leonard was actually involved with me. And this brother came on, and this is his own music. And it's called Awesome. And he talks about the importance of having my queen standing with me. And I think about how we got Queen that's involved with us and everything. And I wanted to let Queen hear that little intro, you know. And the title of that is called Awesome. And he's breaking down on all the things that we should be proud of and all the things that we should be looking at and all the things that we should be considering. He said, it's just awesome. It's just awesome to think about I have the opportunity that God has awoken me from what I used to be in, but now I can see things much clearer now, and I know that I have the responsibility to do the things that I have to do. But the most important thing, I got my queen next to me is helping me to be the man that I can be. Just awesome. Just awesome. Hey, that's literally how I feel today. It's just awesome. My little intro, as we get ready to bring on my co-host, so Miss Queen, but I'll do my little intro. I was called into work today, and you know, I'm a surgical technologist, and I had already prepared with the idea what this show was going to be about. You know, 400 years in America. The year 1619, Virginia, when we originally, our culture people arrived based on enslaved Africans, and we are their offspring since 1619. And then the revelation is that 2019 is going to be 400 years. And so I've been having conversations with people about, you know, how is it that, you know, what have we overcome? What have we done when you still, when we're still being affected by the very same thing, 1619? And what was that thing? It's called color. And so today, I actually was upset that I got called in to go to work because I was, preparing and taking a rest and getting ready to prepare for the show. And then I had this, got called in, you know, I'm on call from 3 to 11. And I'm like, oh, man. So I called my girl Queen and asked her to back me up and told her that I needed for her to do. And then, you know, I went into this case. We had a, you know, vitrectomy ruptured. And I'm in the room. I'm the only one in the room look like me. We're finishing up the case. We've been doing the case about an hour now. And we're finishing up the case. We had to do some lasering and everything for the patient. And I have to tell the nurse, you know, what these numbers are, and the number was 1757, you know, and I say, hey, 1757, and the doctor that I was doing the case with, he said, oh, that's a great year, and before I realized, and I like, great year for who? I just came, great year for who? He said, well, I'm talking about, and I, before he finished, I said, brother, you listen, I represent descendants of American slaves, man. You know, great year for who? I mean, maybe for people that look like you, maybe it was a great year, but it was a great year for people that look like me. And he like, oh, man, yeah, I guess, you know, he acknowledged that, you know, man, I guess I see your point. And so I went ahead and explained 1619 and 2019, and I was going to be 400 years. And I went ahead and explained to him about the use of color. And it's amazing that the use of color, the terminology color, is still being used for something from 1619. And everybody in the room were doctors. And I said, you know, as a doctor's, you understand if you continue having the symptoms from something and you're feeling the results of that is still going on, the only way you can change that and make that patient better, you know, you identify as cancer, you literally have to remove it, so you can get some change diagnosis and change systems. And to my amazement, they got it. Every single one of them got it. And they said, you know what, I hadn't, and went all on their own, without me having to coach them, I had done my job, dropped the seed, all on their own. They said, wow, looks to me that color needs to be removed. Man, I hadn't thought of it. Then one of them said, wow, man, this is the type of conversations we need more of. We need to start talking about things that are factual and real. And that leads me right into why, you know, I love my girl Queen, okay? Yeah, I'm bringing her on the air with me and everything. Because I truly believe that what happened occurred only because, one, let me not be no fool. Me, Sean, is representing himself as being good. I was good at what I do. I represent myself as a man, and I have position. I was the lowest person in the room, professionally, educationally wise. But because of my professional status and the way that I've always conducted myself, all the men that in that room was able to hear me and see me as equally as a man as they were, regardless of our economic or financial or educational point of view. They understood that I was speaking as a man, as a husband, and as a father, not as someone that was color, but they understood that I was speaking as a man, as a husband, and as a father. And Queen, you know, when I called you and told you about welcome to the Focus Show, I told you that I didn't know what I was going to prepare for, but I am thankful that I went in to that show. Thank you for, was going to back me up. But Queen, it was meant for me to go in. Welcome to the Focus Show, girl.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm honored to be here once again. And I'm excited about this topic today.
Yes, ma'am. I told you about, you know, before we bring everybody else on, I called you and told you my experience, and you and I was talking about it and everything. And I specifically said to you that I know the primary reasons that I was able to have that conversation is because, one, I had preferenced myself as being someone that they could see me as equal as a man. I wasn't under their foot, okay? I wasn't less than, but I had preferenced myself to be able to have that conversation. But because of that, we were able to have a conversation, and they communicated back with me as a man, understanding where I was coming from. And you made some, because we was talking about the Nation of Islam and some of the problems that we see in our mm-hmm. community. You made reference that that's part of our problem as a cultural men. We don't want to have these conversations. Go ahead.
Well, we don't want to have these conversations, but also, you know, there's a lot of damage to the psyche. And I think when you start being too concerned about what other people think of you and versus you being confident in what you think and know of yourself. So, like you put it all the time, you know, somebody got to get some balls up in here and be real, real alpha men. just taking a page out of your book, but that is absolutely the truth. And I think that we have kept ourselves divided, and then we divided amongst one another. But then when it comes to those things that matter, when it comes to conversations that matter, then we are the last ones to come to the table or even create the table to where we can all sit down and have a conversation about this racism thing or this color thing, because psychologically we are divided in our minds, but we are so overly invested in this country, in this land, in this process. And when I say we are overly invested, because we are descendants of American slaves, we are descendants of African slaves, and we have built this country and we have paid for this country with blood, with sweat, and with lives. And so therefore, the so-called powers that be need to honor us, and we need to do a justice to ourselves by coming to the political table and having a voice. But who will speak for us if the men don't get their nuts up? That's all I'm going to say about that.
What you said. I'm opening up the lines because my two senior partners are on the line. I got the president of DOCSI, Leonard Walker, and I also got the vice president of DOCSI, Marcus, on the line. And you know, I tabled and primed this conversation saying 400 years in America, the year 1619 to 2019, you know, it's about planting the seeds and creating that movement and creating that membership and creating that opening and starting to start now, putting the legislature, getting now. So, you know, some people say, why are you talking about it now? It ain't 400 years. Well, as a military, I'm going to get Marcus to start in there. As a military person, we know that you don't wait to something to happen. You prepare for it. You put the strategy, you put the thoughts, you put the time, you dig in. Hey, Marcus, you want to speak, because you asked me earlier how we was going to lean into this conversation, how we was going to start there. I think how we do it is that we have to start creating the atmosphere for it. You want to speak to that, Marcus? Welcome to the Focus Show, man.
Well, I'm running a little behind. I'm in the middle of my wife's birthday party, and so I'm gonna have to be brief.
Oh,
I know. But
well, tell her happy birthday.
I certainly will. I've seen is yes, I'll tell her. She's getting ready to sing here in a few minutes, so I'm gonna have to get out of here and I'll come back on. But what I see happening is based on our conversation the other day, is that we haven't set the conditions to engage either political party at this point, because it's about the numbers and a substantial number of people being able to influence an election when you go to that party at whatever level you're going to it at. And so we talked about a 2, 4, or 6 year plan to reengage them completely after we rebuild, or after we build this organization and we have some solid numbers, so that when they talk about our platform and what we're asking for, then we have the ability to say to them, we're going to bring 100,000 votes with us, or we're going to bring X number of votes with us if you're going to support our platform. So that's the main thing that mm-hmm. came out of our meeting with them the other day, is that as much as the idea and they like what they heard, the bottom line is, even though we like what you heard, how can you impact any election with 100 people spread across six states? And so that was kind of the framework from, or the overall conversation that came from that particular meeting. And so that's where I think we have to start, is laying the groundwork to build this into a massive organization that commands attention when we go to talk.
And Marcus, I appreciate it. I'm going to piggyback off what you said. You can jump out if you want to. But with Marcus,
I'll come back when I get done.
Okay, well, Marcus, the conversation Marcus talking about, which I got to give this brother, you listen up. You know, I've been knowing Marcus for 30 years, okay? I've been knowing this brother 30 years. We've been knowing when he was a lieutenant, I was a buck sergeant. And we went on up through the ranks and everything. And I've been knowing him, so I can call him friend. But you know what? I have to say that this past Tuesday, sitting in the presence of my brother Marcus, okay, and seeing him how he navigated this coming, you know, me showing going to be me, you know, I'm me all the time, wherever I go. I stir up crap and I piss people off and I can get a little rowdy. And Marcus was hitting me and kicking me on the side of my leg and everything because he was like that. But I had the opportunity to sit back. It was not until later when I got home and I laid my head down and I woke back up that the Spirit of God revealed to me that my brother Marcus Ray was commanding.
Hello?
I'm not sure what happened to him. You still there?
Sounds like he might have dropped out. Hold on a second. Let me check. Marcus, continue on while we, but you know, he was talking about how we kind of handled ourselves as a group, as an organization, in the presence
right.
of political parties. You know, going forward, I think there was an after-action response from that we got some feedback on. Could you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Well, what we did is in the course of the conversation, we were looking for someone to come up on the net and sponsor some legislation and then see how we could impact the elections locally based off of they're agreeing to support us. And so basically our conversation went on for a couple of hours, but the main thing that came out of it is that they asked us about our numbers and whether or not those numbers would vote the way the organization asked them to vote. And so it was just kind of a back and forth, kind of filling each out from there. And what came out of that was what I just said earlier, is that we're going to have to come back with some solid numbers to be able to influence the local elections, to be able to get their attention, for them to be willing to take a chance to come on board with us. And one thing that I pointed out to them, and we had several back and forth, but one of the things that they were trying to hem us into a idea that our group was a Republican organization by asking us some different things and getting you to say yes a couple of times, you know, and then they hit you with that, well, you must be a Republican or you must be a Democrat type deal. And so one of the things I said to him was that he said it's not possible to be both. And I said, well, see, there you're wrong. I said, what it is what we may have is permanent interest. I have no permanent friends. And so today you may be my friend because we have this in common and this is a both of our interests. And tomorrow I may be his friend because we have this in common over here. I said, so it's very possible mm-hmm. for us to be in both places depending on what that issue is. And I said, what I expect to be able to do is I'm expect to bring people to you. And if you don't do what you say you're going to do in 2 years or 4 years, we're going to go somewhere else. And so that was kind of the bottom line to the whole conversation, was that we had said we're not pledging our loyalty to anybody. We're going to go with whoever can deliver what it is we're asking for. And if you tell us you can deliver it, we're going to expect you to deliver it. If not, we'll be back to talk about that the next time around or before the next time around.
Well, let me ask a question, if you don't mind. Let me ask a question, because we have so many brilliant minds amongst the African community, okay? And and we all know that throughout the year, you know, we've had so many different organizations that have come up with agendas. And I put the emphasis on agendas. And then we even had a group that came up with an action plan, but, of course, the plan itself never got any action. So
right.
When we start to come together to kind of put an agenda in place in order to say to any candidate, hey, this is our agenda, this is what our plan of action needs to be, and we want you to support that plan of action. Because the question for me is, where's the agenda coming from? Who's all inclusive in what is going to be presented to any force of power, so to speak, in the political aspect of it? Because me personally, I think that we are the majority, and when I say we, I'm speaking of people of African descent, the indigenous people of the country. So when you look at us, we are really the majority, and we are the ones that are screaming injustice, injustice, unfair, inequality. You know, it is mostly us and poor whites. Poor Caucasian people are also in that same boat. So when we look at it, it's us that really have the voting power, but we don't have a plan of action or even an agenda that anyone is willing to go and present to any political party and say, this is what we want you to do in our government that is best for us.
Hey, Queen.
Yes.
Queen, you took the show away from me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all you controlling.
I was just asking
you control. I'm like, what the hell happened?
No, you disappeared. I guess you disappeared because I had to call back.
No,
in.
When you log back in, because I don't have no control. You're controlling it now.
I'm not in Blog Talk at all. No, I'm not
somebody,
in Blog Talk at all.
You're not? Well,
no.
It's not allowing me to. You on Facebook? Well, we are
on,
and I get a whole lot of people on it, but it's not. It's not allowing me to control it.
And I'm logging in, and the only thing that comes up is Nation Building Movement. So no, it's not me.
Yeah, well, it's not. Hey, we got all these people on the line, so I'm gonna open it all up. We got all these. Hey, listen up. We've been having some technicality going on with here, but that's okay. We're gonna get past it. Are you still on Facebook?
I'm on Facebook.
You're on Facebook. Well, it is allowing me to bring everybody on, and I guess we're just going to have to play it by ear and just going on. Hey, welcome to the Focus Show. I see I got a 1024, I got 1619. Last week I got a call from Atlanta, 2920, and I got also a 1920. Welcome to the Focus Show. How y'all doing?
Great.
Everybody's great.
One by one. Who's this? Is that my dad?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Hey, how you doing, Dad? How you? Welcome to the Focus Show.
Hi, Mr.
I'm glad to have
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, that's Queen. Right. Y'all got to talk. And who else is on the line?
I think I was talking to Marcus.
I think Marcus
I'm here.
Step away. You got...
Yeah, I'm here. I'm in and out, but I'm here.
Well, I'm sorry for the confusion. It looked like Blog Talk Radio, then my numbers are not there, but we're still operating, so we're going to make the best of it. You know, we got, look like we have about another 30 minutes left here. Let me see. Yeah, we got about 34 minutes left here. You know, the whole show, this whole show is just about the idea that 1619, okay, is when the first arrival of enslaved Africans came from Africa. And the introduction of color was introduced to us culturally. And here we are going into 2019, and it's going to be 400 years, and we're still using color. And I had an incident earlier today where I was in the presence of a lot of all European men in the room, and we came to the conclusion that color is wrong. So Miss Queen and I was talking, and all the rest of it, we got the Dossie movement, the Descendants of American Slaves. We're looking at introducing new legislation to try to change that. But the only way we can do that is that we got to get our numbers up, and we got to recruit. And Leonard, are you on the line?
I'm on the line. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hello,
now.
Can you hear me? Okay. All
yes,
right.
Sir.
All right.
I got
yes,
you.
Sir.
The like I said, it's a lot of people probably are trying to figure out, well, what does color have to do with anything? Or why is it, you know, why is that so important? That's important because when we look at ourselves, all right, and, you know, we look at ourselves, nobody is truly black as a color. Nobody is truly white as a color. So if black and white does not represent your skin color, what does it actually represent? What it actually represents is a social caste, all right, that we've been placed in, okay, where some people get privileges greater than other people, all right. Like I said, from the time that we came from Africa, if you ever notice any sales papers or any deeds of sale from the slave trade, from the triangle slave trade, you'll never see the word African, you'll never see a tribe, you'll never see anything. What you will see is the word Negro, okay? And Negro, as we know, means black in Spanish, okay? It's a Latin-based word. So why did they do this? Because this is a form of dehumanization, all right? Placing people in a color-coded system is a form of dehumanization to where they can control, okay, this group of people can do this group of people can do that. We're all Americans, and we're all covered by especially with our demographic of people who were American slaves and now descendants of American slaves, we are covered under the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment, and we are citizens of the United States. We should not be relegated to a system of color, a color caste system similar to that of the Hindu color caste system, where your rights and your privileges depend on what caste you are in. This is what we're trying to eliminate. Everybody who is a citizen of the United States should have the same right, the same opportunity, all right, and is covered under the Constitution. The Constitution is there for the citizen, and we have to invoke our rights as citizens of the United States first. This is why we get ready to color.
And Leonard, one of the things that we need to, in the same, I want everyone to listen to why this is so very important. And I had no clue that, you know, going to work today that this was going to happen. But I believe, I'm certain that nothing happened by coincidence. It happened for a reason. The primary reason why we culturally, the ones who have been the ones to most demigrate, burdened by color, particularly our men, we are the ones that must engage this conversation. We can't sit around and wait for someone to do something for us that we are not willing to do for ourselves. So I'm going to give you an example. When the doctor, when I was at work today, okay, and we were doing this, some numbers needed to be given because of lasery. The number came up at 1757. The European males in the room, or there's one European male in the room specifically said, oh, that was a great year. I mean, he's great. He said it was
a great amount of power. Wow, that was a great year. And because I'm a descendant of American slaves, and I think that way, I don't. Our first thing I said, great year for who? Who are you talking about? I said, I'm a descendant of American slaves, and 1757 was not a great year for nobody who looked like me. And because I engaged this conversation, I then, whenever I was able to go on and stir the rest of the story, I said, you know, 1619 is when slaves were first arrived here, and then by 2019, it's going to be 400 years. It is amazing to me that color is still the same terminology being used 1619 to now going into 2019, it's going to be 400 years. Seems to me they're all doctors. I said, seems to me that if color is the problem, then it's the cancer that needs to be removed. And to my amazement, I want people to address, why do you think, to my amazement, all of those European men that were in that room all acknowledged that I was correct? And one of them actually came out and said, man, we need more conversations like this. I want to know, anybody, one by one, why do you think all of a sudden I was heard and they agreed that color was a problem? Why do y'all think? Anybody?
I have a question.
Well, okay, go ahead.
Peace.
Go ahead. Who is this? Say your name and who is this?
Brother Kenneth.
Okay.
If race is a code and it has nothing to do with it, when you look at it, they leave the word code off on the paperwork. And it really has nothing to do with ethnicity. And if, you know, white is the highest category that one can choose, why not just choose white on the paperwork?
First of all, and since I've been practicing, and since it's been now 15 years, over 15 years that I no longer see, and I don't even use the word color in my conversation, first thing I'm going to say to you is that since 1619, we've been conditioned to see white as the highest thing on the ground. It's because culturally, the dominating culture put that in our mentality to make us feel that way. It takes for us to say, no, that is not the case. And we have to break ourselves from that idea of even thinking. See, the moment that I allowed, when I went to the Republican Party dinner and I was in the presence, it was only four of us in the room that looked like me. What I made sure that I did, and I wish I told one of my partner, young fellas, that I wish he would have been with me, one thing that I did not care about me being the only one in the room that looked like me, even though I saw 300 people in the room looked at white. But I didn't care because I didn't allow their ideology or belief to think that they were so more superior to me that I could not move around in that room and do what I did. I moved around such strong that it caused them to be a little – I stirred up stuff because I never made them feel like white was superior to me. See, that's something that we have to change in our own thinking. We got to show them that we got to change this idea that color matters. Color, our humanity matters. We got to stop seeing ourselves as black. The more we see ourselves black, we continue letting them see themselves as white, and that's our problem.
I'll go back to the way that I stated the question. I don't think you heard it correctly. And I'm just getting on, and I kind of heard the brother right before you that spoke about color and used the word code inside, meaning that, you know, he's really stating that this is a code, which comes from the Virginia Color Code, you know, and it has nothing to do with ethnicity. I'll say that again.
Yes.
Being that, or we have not been educated how codes are classified. Mm-hmm. And so if we would choose And it is a choice whether, you know, we want to, you know, choose something that has no significance in law, or that which has the highest standard in law. Now, if in our minds, yes, we've been conditioned to see things, but if we're going to be tricked, we're going to be tricked in the language. So this is where we're missing out at, is being educated in the language. And what does the word code mean in law? No?
Yeah.
Or well, color mean in law?
Let me come in and help you out here. On birth certificates, on federal documentation, these are things that they have classified, all right? They have color codes. All right, now, really, they've got the codes. The main codes you have is white and black, okay? Black and African-American are typically what you would see. And then you've got Asian and Native American, Pacific Islander, all of these types of things, Hispanic, all of these types of things. Okay, so what we have to understand is that with us, okay, with us, black, okay, why can't you just put white on there? Because your ancestry was property, all right? And this is what they continue to try to make sure, that you still function as a piece of property, okay? That's what this code stands for. It says, oh, well, you're going to act like a piece of property because that's what your ancestors were, and we have never, ever told you that you were not property anymore, as long as you continue to identify as black. That's why we must function and identify, because of the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment, we, those who choose not to be a sovereign, all right, and choose to be a citizen of the United States, has to invoke and has to enforce the fact that we are citizens, okay? And as citizens, we have every right that every citizen is supposed to have, all right? See, so like I said, it's this property. You're no longer property, okay? But all right, if we continue to, like I said, like the brother said, when you invoke words out of your mouth, when you write on paper, this is my status, you are proclaiming this legally as your status to be. Therefore, in the law, they can go by basically your admission. All right, if you are proclaiming, oh, yes, I'm property, well, I will just treat you like property. And when you try to complain, oh, wait a minute, why are you treating me like property? Because you said you were property, okay? You, matter of fact, you took an oath, you put it on federal documentation, you proclaimed yourself as being property. Therefore, property has no rights. Property is owned, okay? See, so these are the things you have to kind of look at from that perspective, because this is illegal in business. This is not about patriotism. This is about business, okay, and about legality, all right? See, so in thinking in that way, like the brother said, is ethnically, all right, ethnicity is where our culture lies, all right, is where our cultural identity and these types of things lie. Color is something, no human beings are colors, all right, this is a color code, all right, we're not crayons, all right, but that actually means something, because it means, all right, this is where you will be relegated in society, all right, and once we get away from this sort of relegation, all right, then we can start functioning like we're supposed to and invoking our rights as citizens of the United States, unless you
and
have
Leonard,
some people to become sovereigns.
Okay, let me offer this, brother. Okay, well, evidently there is something. We're dealing with titles, and if in fact the names that we they're all capped. And
yeah.
this is what is being used in commerce. This is the business that is owned by the state, which is the name that is owned by the state, and we can make claims on the name, you know, being that it was given by our mothers and our fathers, and so if in commerce. We're using those titles or these titles in order to operate. And if through the law that is given, is how we conduct business in commerce through the titles, which is the name. And in taking control of that name or that title, and you choose in business, as you say, to say that, okay, that name I'm going to choose as a the living man, not human, which is a monster, the living mm-hmm. man to controlling the title after you've did what it takes to control it. I'm now saying that I'm going to use the highest means of move of conducting commerce, which is you use the code white. So you're saying that is the property that is the property, brother, that we have to understand how to deal with, not you as one as the living man.
Let me address, because we got 19 minutes left here. We only got an hour show, and so let me get her on the idea that DOSSI, Descendants of American Slaves Inc., has incorporated in 3 states, and we have addressed the issues that we started to realize is that we're still perpetuating all through everywhere that you see a large demographic. I'm a medical person, so I operate from a medical mentality. You still see the dysfunctioning, and you still see the carry on of slavery everywhere where there's a large demographic of us. And so when you see that, that means that we are infected by something that's continued. No matter, we don't call ourselves Negro, we don't call ourselves Black, we're African American, and all those terminologies are all false. Black is a color, okay, color that was taught to us to see ourselves color. Negro is a Spanish word that means color. African American is a immigration terminology for people who are actually born in Africa that comes to America that are African Americans. So if we're not neither Negro, we're not Black, and we're not African Americans, then we must at least identify that 1619, when the first offspring were born on American soil, their legal terminology to do commerce during that time was slave. So slave is a legal terminology that America already know. That's a commerce legal terminology. This is DOSSI language. This is what we have clear and we understood about. So if that's the language, and so 1776, when America could have done right by the slaves that they produced in these slave states all across this country, but 1776, because they wanted to continue their commerce operation from private and now making it corporate. See, the problem is that many of us don't talk the language that European Americans understand. You got to talk their language based on legality, okay? So the terminology is slave. Slaves were created 1619 all the way until America incorporated in 1776. But America decided that they wanted to continue their commerce off of slaves, so they knew that they could control us because slaves was already property, so they didn't have to consider us, so they made us 3/5 a human, so they can continue their commerce. What we now in the 21st century, we're not as ignorant, we're not as less than, we know who we are now. It behooves us as post woke 21st century men today, our women, our children are looking for us, 21st century post-woke brothers, men, to correct America. We are here. Our identity don't come from color. Our identity comes from God. And our identity comes from the legal terminology that America could have created American slaves back then, and we will be now legally descendants of American slaves. So all we're trying to do,
could I interfere?
Correct. All we're trying to do, let me get this up. Yes, you better, just a minute. All we're trying to do is correct the terminology so we can get our humanity away from color into our legal inheritance that's owed to us in this country. Go ahead. Who wants to chime in that?
This is Dad.
Hey, what's up, Dad? You always can jump in there, Dad.
Okay.
How you doing?
I'm great. There are two questions. One would be, how do you see you? And the second would be, what do you see yourself as? Now, in order to support that, I'm going to state this. There was a time that they were saying that you couldn't read, that you couldn't be allowed to read, or you were put to death if they caught you reading. But then someone got the insight of feeling that, well, wait a minute, why are we killing them? Why don't we teach them or let them read? Because at that particular point, we're teaching them everything that they need to know about them. And we bought into the reality of that. And we follow that even to this date. Even when this thing of classifications begin to focus on, and people of our nature really didn't have a choice or a statement in regards to why this was being done, and we did not question it because we were already seasoned and given the food that they desired us to have, and we ate well. But now we're at a state where that we have to begin to realize that there's something greater to you or for you than the classifications that have been provided to us. And once we begin to declassify ourselves and find out who we truly are, if we can't go back to the human, there's only one other course that we can take, and that's to buy into the acceptance that our creation is from the supreme essence of our Creator. Now, anything that we become after that is ours. Because if we were created, we make ourselves, and our thoughts are the things that we really dress ourselves in. Now, it's time to change our thoughts. Because if you don't see yourself as something, then you no longer buy into the reality of that something. And when it comes up, you say, no, I'm not going to do this. And once you begin to say that and strengthen yourself in your inner graces, because once you buy into the philosophy that the Creator provided us, then all this begin to change for you, and then your position in this life and seeing things in this life changes. I'm going to share this one thing with you to try to prove my point. I can recall, I'm 74 now, I can recall back in time in school, early school, where they began to teach me certain things. And I think I shared this with Deshaun. This is my country, land of my birth. This is my country, and it is the grandest on earth. I'll pledge my allegiance to America, and I'll be bold. This is my country for me to have and to hold. But what would have happened if they had presented that to us a different way? This is my Creator's country. It's just the land of my birth. This is my Creator's country, and it is the grandest on earth. And I'll pledge my allegiance to my Creator, and I'll be bold. For this is my Creator's country for me to have and to hold. It's time for us to change our thinking, the manner in which we see things, the manner in which we conduct ourselves, the manner in regards to what we now do that we know that we should not be doing, and learn how to develop that love that is us, from us, so that the things that we are attempting to do at this particular point will become a reality.
Wow, Dad. Woo! Hey, that, you know, hey, that was my father. That's my dad. That's my dad.
That was absolutely beautiful. But you know, we can't control what we don't create. And these titles that we operate in they're not our creation. And until we learn to how to control the title, which is a business, which is a fictitious entity that we're walking around on holding, that we call names, that we operate on, but yet we don't know how to operate in these titles that we do not control.
I'm sorry, but we got 10 minutes, and we got a lot of people on the lines, and how we do this on this focus show is that because I got all of y'all on this line, I want each one of you, okay, and Queen, you the female, you be the closer, okay? You the coach.
Yeah.
I want each one of you, and I'm going to start with the, and as I'm going to start with your last number, or your four numbers, and you get to say 1 minute, okay? 1 minute, okay, of what you got out of this in your thoughts is closing. So 2642, okay, you're on the Focus Show. Give your comments and as we closing out. Got anything to say?
Yeah, Michonne, you know who it is. I came in late, man, but I like what I heard. The show is, hope it goes strong. I need that bread that y'all spitting out every Sunday, so I can get nourished off of it, and I can appreciate what you're doing.
Hey, I appreciate it, and Adolph, man, keep it real. Well, you got to bring man up in this conversation too, brother. Okay.
We will.
All right. 1094. You on the Focus Show? Go ahead. What you got to say? 1094. Last four numbers, 1094.
Yes. This is Brother Kareem
Muhammad. Yes, sir.
I came in a little late myself because I'm still working. But the bottom line is that we must do everything. We must use every tool in the box to liberate ourselves. And that's
Amen.
All I have to say.
Hey, you said what you need. You said what the right thing you need to say, brother. Go ahead. Hey, we got Dad. Hey, Dad, you go ahead and say something. You close out 2920. Go ahead, say something.
Okay, the primary thing I feel is to come to grips with the fact that only you can make the change in you. It's our thoughts that we put into existence. Whatever we think, we create. If we believe it's to be not, then we don't buy into the reality of it. So the thing is now is to stop buying into the reality of it and give it the growth that you know yourself should be, because change can only come from each and every one of us and not by totally a group of us. We change ourselves initially, and then everything else begins to take care of itself.
Very good. Thank you, Dad. We got 6619. Ooh, come on.
Yes, sir. I got a – yes, can I be heard?
Yes, you can hear here. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I got on late. I only heard partial language, and I was coming on based on the language that I was hearing, and that's what I was addressing, is the language. And I think that it is in the language, and understanding the language, and like the brother was saying, is that this is the way that the Europeans have always operated, so they understand law from a very early age, you know, and that's where we're
lost at,
is in understanding and deciphering the law and putting ourselves on point and understanding that these titles that they have that we consider to be names that we walk around in that was given to us and was taken over by them at birth, this is where we're lost.
Hey, and you know what? I do appreciate I heard what you were saying about the language. And it's so very important that we do address that language. But it's time, like my dad was saying, it's time that we recreate the language that we understand and put it in something that we can now operate from. Hey, 2633, you next. No. Hello? Queen?
Oh, yeah. I don't even know my own number.
You don't even know your own number. Hold up. Don't start yet. Let me go to Leonard. Leonard, go ahead, Leonard.
All right. Just to kind of piggyback off of what Brother Kenneth was saying, I think one of the things that he was saying is as a move of protest, and I kind of like this, as a move of protest, any type of government document or any type of federal document that we have to fill out, we should just go ahead and put white, because that would stir up lots of controversy. Because what ends up happening is you say, okay, well, why am I not white? All right, if I'm, or why is my business, or why is my label, why is my title not white? So now it forces the government to come back and redefine and admit, okay, well, you're still a slave. Oh, am I really still a slave? Well, wait a minute, the Constitution says I'm not a slave. So that means that if I have a choice, okay, I can put whatever I want to put, and I want to put the highest caste that I'm in, that this country tries to establish into. So I kind of like that idea of protest.
Hey, Leonard, I actually grasped what he was. That would stir up some serious stuff. But I think we need to stay on course. We need to stay on course with our inheritance. What we try to, I think that'll take us down another avenue that I don't think we need to go right now. But it would stir up some stuff. It would definitely stir up.
Not right now. But like I said, the whole point would be to eliminate color and just be citizens.
Color. We got to eliminate color. See, the moment that we eliminate color, we also eliminate them. That's what I like about it.
Yep.
Hey, Marcus, you want to close out?
Yeah, I was just going to tell you something I read earlier. It said that James Madison called it America's original sin, chattel slavery. It's horrors. Thomas Jefferson prophesied would bring down a wrath of biblical proportions. Indeed, Jefferson wrote, "I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever." That's it.
And I think we are at that point that we are now, we're not just woke, but we're focused.
Hold on, Brother Michon.
Guess what? You are the last, so you get to go ahead. You get to pose. You're the only female, and you the nurturing. So I got to get – you know you're going to get your say. So go ahead. You get to close this out.
Okay. What I would like to see, because we have so many men on this line, and, it's kind of old. It's kind of a cliche, but I think each one, reach one. And I think we do have to get away from – color, because color, just as well as religion, just as well as some cultural practices, has been a divisive force among us as a people who are suffering under the same plight. And a lot of it, and whether people want to acknowledge it or not, the actual factual truth is that a lot of our oppression in 2018, and I can go back even further, but as we stand today, a lot of our oppression is brought upon by ourselves, because we are so divisive in our approach and how we look at things. We are separated from the political forces that govern us, and until we see ourselves as one unit, one people, and address the issues that plague us on the platforms that matter, this is not going to change. So I implore every man on this radio to get out and teach one and reach one and bring us together in spite of our differences, and let's work on what we have in common. That's my comment.
And you know what? And what I love about Queen, you always listen up. I'm going to always do this, and I'm going to make very clear, one of the primary things that we've done that we allow to be done to us is that we allow our women to be less queens in our lives. And when our women became less queens in our lives, then our children became less important to us. And then when our children became less important to us, then we no longer cared about what kind of education they got. We didn't care about what kind of community we left them in. We didn't care about who come in our community, because we as men didn't create no perimeter around our women who are our queens, who nurtures our children. See, until we understand that the fostering comes from us as men, alpha men that knows how to put a perimeter about that we love, like our queens and our queens that have our children, then we will be more, then we can be able to be, say that we can take back what's right for the hours. But we have lost that. But in 21st century, 2019, under the movement of Defenders of American Slaves, that we're looking to try to create membership, you'll be learning more about that. We're trying to change that. We're going to do it by one show
That's
at a
right.
time and make a difference. One show at a time. Because, Queen, you do represent the nurturing, and we're going to lift up that nurturing. We want every man to lift up the nurturing in your woman, okay? Because their voice does matter.
That's right.
But
But the women, we need them to lift up the fostering in us because our voice matters. I love y'all all. Y'all take care. The show just went overtime. And y'all take care. We'll be back next week.
All right.
Take
peace.
Care.
Good night, everyone.
Peace.
Have you tried that chicken?
Yeah. Hey, what a good show.